medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of J.D. Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good. Looking forward to today's session with the panel that we've assembled. This ought to be fun.
Yes.
These people are very reserved, conservative. It's going to be very professional,
quiet, straightforward.
It's going to be a lot of work on us to like eke out of them answers. I mean, this could be the toughest conversation we've had to hold so far.
I agree. It's going to be tough. But I think we can do it, Paul. I've got faith in us.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Fun, but not much happening over here. We just went into dev integration test with release 26, so we're wrapping that up. Coming out soon to a theater near you, something like that. I don't know. Whatever. Just in time for a conference maybe or shortly thereafter that's coming. Yay. So, woohoo!
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited. And we can do a whole episode like we did with release 25. We can tell people what's in it once it comes out. I'm excited.
Yeah, as soon as I figure that out, we can have that conversation.
Well, yeah, maybe you should get on that. Is that part of your job, sir? Just kidding.
Probably. I question what my job is on a daily basis, but that's probably most of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, you too? Yeah. Depends on the hat I'm wearing.
So what's on the docket today?
Well, today we are going to talk about something that actually was a topic that was brought up a year ago at Blueprint. So we're totally on the ball. We're really
absolutely punctual.
Yes, I know, right? Yeah. But it is still
very relevant. We follow up eventually.
It's hard juggling our podcast schedule and fitting in these things.
Well, I blame our guests. I mean, they're just hard to get a hold of. They're busy.
Oh, I know, right?
They've got complicated lives. They're not very responsive. Like I said, this is going to be a hard conversation.
Right. So we are going to talk about interviewing BAs. So we've assembled a panel of individuals, and we are going to talk about the types of questions they ask to help discern if somebody's going to be a really good fit for a BA at their company. So with that, I will introduce who our guests are and then let them do a little bit of an introduction themselves. So with us today, we have Peggy Christensen with Hamilton Communication. We have Darren Young with Paul Mueller. And we have Rochelle Fettig with Cardinal Glass Industries. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Peggy and let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about Hamilton and what she does for Hamilton. And then we will have all of our candidates give a little introduction and maybe even tell us a fun fact about themselves.
Thanks, Chandra. I'm Peggy Christensen, working for Hamilton Telecommunications. We're a local telephone company in central Nebraska, and we also provide relay services for the deaf and hard of hearing through our Hamilton Relay arm, and that's a nationwide business. I manage the enterprise software and data services team, and I've done that for 8 or 9 years now. So I've been in the J.D. Edwards space, although not really closely. I manage people who work in the J.D. Edwards space for 8, 9 years now. Prior to that, I lived in the business analysis and project management world in the financial services sector. So a little bit different than what I'm doing now. And then a fun fact about me is that I have a big dog. He's a St. Bernard. And his name is Winston Tiberius Sasquatch Doolittle.
I love it. What do you call him for short?
Winnie.
Got it. Nice. That is a big one. A St. Bernard. Doesn't he get a little warm down there?
He does. So he's an inside dog in the summertime. He's an outside dog. He loves the outside in the wintertime. So
of course. Yes. I can imagine. They are very much known for the cold weather and rescues.
When it's snowing and rain, usually the snow rain mix is when he gets very excited and wants to go outside.
When you're like, I really don't want to go outside. Yeah. How about you just go on your own? Yes. All right, Darren.
I'm Darren Young, work at the Paul Mueller Company. I've been there for about 33 years. Currently, I manage a team of business analysts. We've only got three on staff. It's a small group. And then I also handle managing the enterprise software there. Before that, I was actually doing the business analysis work of JD Edwards for a while. So I've been in the world of it for about 12, 15 years, seeing a lot of growth. We started with Enterprise One, so I missed the whole world to Enterprise One transition. I was sad about that. Paul Mueller Company is a manufacturer of stainless steel products. We have probably 10 product lines that we work with currently, and we provide stainless steel products for industries such as dairy, biopharmaceutical, food dairy, et cetera. And fun fact about me is I'm known as Mr. Christmas around here. If I could keep my Christmas trees up year round, I would do so. As a matter of fact, in my office at home, I have.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. So do you decorate the office and home?
Yes, very much so. Starting right around Thanksgiving, I will take a couple of trees into the office up at work and decorate my office area up there at work as well.
It's awesome. I love it.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right, Rochelle.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Chandra, for the introduction. I'm Rochelle Fettig. I am the lead business systems analyst for Cardinal Glass Industries, and we're based out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So Cardinal is the leading manufacturer of high-performance glass products, and we are primarily in the residential glass manufacturing space. We have approximately 10,000 employees with 45 plants that make up 5 divisions, and they're all using JD Edwards. We have a variety of processes amongst the plants and divisions, and JD Edwards has allowed for flexibility of customizations to accommodate their business needs. A note to mention is we process over 100,000 sales order lines per day, which is quite a few, and we're integrated with multiple third-party products. So a little bit about the company. I'm the lead business systems analyst, as I mentioned, and my team includes 11 of our 14 business analysts for JD Edwards, and we have 4 developers. So I kind of came into the space about 17 years ago as my career was moving through different areas of the company. I've been here, did I say 27 years? Did I say that part yet? Because it's been a long time. Oh, a fun fact about me, more along the lines of I worked with Chandra before. So we got to work at Cardinal Glass together.
We did. And we did well. We had well.
Yes.
Yes.
And survived. Congratulations.
Definitely survived.
And thrived.
Right. Come on. I set that up. You just.
So close. All right. So today I figure we'll start off with one of the questions that Darren had sent over as we were discussing what are the types of questions you might ask candidates as you are interviewing. And what are the things that you're looking for in an answer that will help you ascertain if that candidate is going to be a good fit for the job and your company, maybe? Sometimes there's a cultural in an organization, and you want to make sure that that individual also fits into your culture. Sure, they might be able to do the job, but maybe your culture is a culture of a lot of extroverts, and this person is highly introverted, and maybe that's not going to be the best fit for you or them. Just things like that. So both looking at it from the perspective of the culture of the organization, as well as can this person do the job that I'm looking to hire for BAs specifically. So with that, Darren, I think you had asked that the job we have involves a lot of troubleshooting, sometimes with not much to go on. A user comes in and or somebody reports an issue and you're like, oh, you know, where do I start, right?
This doesn't work.
Yeah, this is broken. It didn't give me the results that I expected. So, you know, I think you had said one of the things that you ask is tell me about a time when you've had a problem that's come in and you took some time to resolve it. How did you go about resolving it? So what are the things that you're looking for when somebody gives you an answer to that scenario, if you will?
The first thing I look for is try to watch how they answer the question. What their thought processes are. Do they sit back and just take some time and think through it and they're really quiet about it? Are they communicating their thoughts? And then when they're answering the question, what's the process that they're going through? Because what I'm really looking for are, Do they have the ability to find answers on their own? Are they resourceful and know kind of where to go look for? Or is it person that potentially is like, I'm kind of stuck here. Who do I go ask? And they're looking for an easy way out.
So I assume you're not looking for the person that wants the easy way out.
I would really hope to find somebody that likes to be able to find the answer first before they have to go ask for help. That's the goal.
Okay.
You're looking for somebody that will use their resources to try and troubleshoot, to try and figure out the answer. But if they can't, they won't just continue to maybe drag their heels, if you will. They will ask, whether it's somebody at the company or potentially use resources outside of the company, whether it's other connections or maybe one of the SIGs.
Yes.
So one of the things you said there was you look at almost how they respond, like physically and timing, right? So do they just immediately give you an answer and just throw something out there haphazard, so to speak, or do they actually take the time to think through and give you a very thoughtful, you know, as if they have a methodology, a true methodology to how they go through problem solving versus somebody that maybe just starts rambling and maybe it's incoherent, maybe they're all over the place and you can tell that this person is going to respond in this situation by just chaos, right? They be causing more problems than necessarily solving.
Yeah, I've got to look at how they're going to respond to the users, because these questions, like you said, they're going to come in with very little. We may get a sheet that tells us what the error is. We may get what screen they're in. So it's kind of nice when they're actually thought-provoking and sometimes even ask questions back to kind of get a little more information as they're answering the question.
That's what I was kind of looking for, is do they, understanding that there's not a lot to go on, are they good at asking clarifying questions? Because really the first step is to verify that they actually have a problem. So you're not giving me much to go on. Let's verify that we understand what the problem is, if there actually is a problem, before we jump into how we're going to go about solving it. Cool.
How about Peggy or Rochelle? Is that also a question you guys would ask or something similar?
Yeah, I look for those kinds of things. I'm looking for, again, if they're going to ask the user question. So if a user comes with a problem, are they going to say, can you tell me what screen you were on? What process were you trying to complete? What did you get and what did you expect? What did you expect to have gotten? Any kind of threads that they can use then to go recreate the problem. Because one of the things that a business analyst needs to do when they get a problem or get a report of a problem is to go try to recreate it so that they can then figure out how to solve it. So that's one of the questions that I try to pull on, is trying to get them to get to the point where they need to get enough information to recreate it. Mm-hmm.
So for me here at Cardinal, our group of BAs does a more of a panel style discussion with the candidate. And our intent is to get to know the person in 1 hour. I mean, you don't have very much time. So you try to make them feel comfortable and then to share their experience. So just to back up a little bit about that process is we sit down and look at their resume, and that's where we really derive our questions. And we just kind of drill into, like, what did they do? What do they know? Kind of get them to just speak about what they've done. So we meet ahead of time and we ask questions from their work experience. You know, I see you did this. Tell us a little bit about that. And we're expecting to find that there's a process flow in their explanation, what it covered with some level of detail, yet big picture. We don't really care about the actual steps that they shared. You know, we just want to gain insight of their level of knowledge in the process or project. And it gives us good insight into how well they can communicate, what their role was, were they more technical or functional, and their excitement or even lack thereof when they're explaining it.
That technical versus functional goes back to that funk tech versus fun tech, I believe. I mean, so it is part of the interview process. Even though Darren said he doesn't know which side of the fence he's on, I mean,
right.
The reality is he can be either and still, you know, make it in this position. But it's good to know which side they're going to be coming from. Are they going to be coming from more of a technical background versus a functional background? And based on what you need, what you're short on, and a gap you need to fill, it's good to know that. So very interesting. I have really smart aleck comments, like, how did Chandra pass that interview process? But we'll move on.
Well, I mean, can I just comment on that, which is not going to be edited out? Chandra and I had no lack of communication.
There, it was filled. We could sat there and visited probably for 3 hours nonstop.
I would agree.
So it was very informational about her and her work and her personality. And it was, conversation is just a really good thing to have. And it leads to different questions. And it was a great experience, Paul. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad I can ask such good follow-up lead-in questions. But, and to your point, though, I mean, knowing that the conversation does flow that easy, then you can feel confident that when Chandra is interacting with the users, that she's going to put them at ease. Because most of the time when they come in and they have this problem, it's, you know, I think one of the questions down below, it's the most important thing, right? For them, this is impacting their ability to do their job, and they're potentially upset. It helps to have somebody that can kind of, I don't know, bring a little levity to the situation, put them at ease and really work with them and have empathy, which I'm sure through your conversation, you captured all that, right?
Definitely.
I almost threw compliments at my podcast partner. Okay.
Wow. That's amazing.
Remember my job.
In Focus 2025 is coming, and you're invited to the J.D. Edwards Event of the Year. Join the JDE community, Oracle product teams, and industry experts in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, September 9th through Thursday, September 11th, for 3 powerful days of learning, networking, and innovation. Save extra when you register a group of 4 or more. Dive deep into key topics like Release 25 and 26, Orchestrator, AI, Automation, UX1, and more. All designed to help you get the most from your J.D. Edwards investment. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus to learn more and register. That's questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. We hope to see you in Denver. All right, Peggy, what's maybe a question that you might ask?
So I tend to try to get the candidate in just a slightly uncomfortable position by having them tell me about an instance where they didn't know how to do something and how they handled it. So tell me about an instance where you were asked to do something and you didn't know how to do that. And tell me the steps that you took. Where did you go? What resources did you use? Because again, I'm trying to uncover whether they're a problem solver part way or whether they're a problem solver all the way to the end, right? They can really run something to ground. And it's a very interesting question because people will say anything from, I learned how to tile my bathroom and I went to YouTube and I learned how to do that, right? Or I learned something about a software module, or I learned how to make an agent in ChatGPT or whatever it is, right? And there's so many different resources that people can use. If that question stumps somebody from a business analyst functional position, this probably isn't their sweet spot.
I think something we talked about in a past episode, might have been with Andrew, was about the fact that it's not possible to know everything about J.D. Edwards. So you are going to be faced with situations where you don't have an answer. And you have to be able to ad lib in that situation and try to figure it out, whether it be asking those clarifying questions or seeking out additional resources. But you can't be intimidated by it and you can't shut down. So, I mean, I like that. It's really kind of a blunt question. Have you ever just done something that you absolutely don't know how to do? And what did you do to get it done? And if they're stumped, then you know that, well, no, they're looking for direction and they're going to need to know, everything's going to have to be laid out in front of them, basically, for them to be successful. Huh.
Yes, I agree.
How do we put that, Chandra, that you got to be able to just figure it out? I think that's something that we say all the time. It's like, Can they figure it out? I'm going to give you this.
Figure it out. Yep.
Can you figure, you may not know, but can you figure it out?
Figure it out.
And that's kind of a life lesson anyways. If you get to that point where you're like, look, I may not know that, but I'm confident I'm going to be able to work it out one way or the other. I'll just chip away at it. And eventually I'm going to get there.
There are a lot of times where somebody in the business will approach you and ask you, does J.D. ever do blah, blah, blah? Or, you know, they have a vision of something that they want to do and they don't think it can be done. Where maybe it's in a module that I'm not as familiar with. My answer is going to be, let me look that up and get back to you. I'm not afraid to say, I don't know, but I will find out. And I think that is one thing that I look for in candidates as well, that they're okay saying they don't know. Because if they'll never say they don't know, I'm not sure I want them on my team because they're not willing to be vulnerable because I know you can't know everything about this software. It's impossible.
That is very true. And I do try to let candidates know prior to asking that kind of question that we have a team environment and then we have a lot of resources at our disposal, whether it's Quest Oracle Community or JDE Tips or iLearn JDE or Oracle content that is available. And there's so many resources that are even more coming to bear that are easier to use now. There's lots and lots of places to go to look. And you also have the team to help you. So I try not to let them feel like they're all alone and have to figure something out. But it is interesting to watch whether they squirm on that kind of a question.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you basically tell them that they're not expected to know everything up front. There's going to be resources. There's going to be people. Tell me how you would handle this. And if they still think, well, I got to know it all. Well,
true.
Blind. I don't
know. Yeah, exactly.
Is that similar for you, Darren? A similar question that you might ask or that you might look for them to respond in a certain way, whether it's that they're going to use resources or that they're not afraid to say they maybe don't have the answer, but they'll figure it out.
So we don't really do that one in the interview process as much. That's when we hire them. That's one of the first conversations we have. I'll sit down with them and start talking with them immediately and say, there is this very large behemoth of a system that's global in nature, and we use a portion of it. We can't understand everything there is to it. So do not be afraid to go into a meeting if somebody asks you something that you're not sure about. You say, I'm really not sure. Can you give me a little bit of time to get back to you? And then we just tell them, you know, we'll try to return some kind of answer to them within a day so that they know that we're actually actively working on it.
I mean, I think it's a difficult thing to encourage, right? I mean, I just think it's like nature sometimes for people to feel like when they're in those positions that they have to have an answer, and it makes them feel very uncomfortable when they don't. And being able to get people to operate that puts them outside their comfort zone, to be able to like really coach them through that and get them used to the idea that it's okay, it's very, very important.
Well, and I think too, as you're new, you're trying to prove yourself to a certain degree, or you feel like you need to prove yourself to this new employer that, yes, I am a good hire for you. So I feel like it's sometimes, you know, from that standpoint, like, wow, I better know my stuff. It's uncomfortable to say I don't know. So,
yeah, it's one of the things I think Darren had a question on the list that we were reviewing, kind of about projects. What's a project a person works on? And we have a genuine interest in that. Again, we kind of go off of the resume and kind of like cherry pick some different things that we might want to hear about. But we want to know what people have done, what their role was, what technologies they used, you know, what devices such as mobile or et cetera. We want to know everything so that it tells us their level of excitement about those things, or did they have to go troubleshoot something, or did they work in large teams, small teams? What was the nature of this? Because it really gives us perspective for any projects we might be working on and how well did they handle those. Or again, it's 1 hour. In the beginning, it's 1 hour.
Right.
But you just try to pull out what you can and try to resonate with and feel as though that person is a good fit and can handle what we do here at Cardinal.
One of the questions I had written down, I was curious about, you mentioned the technologies that they've worked with. Are you all now looking and seeking out people with experience with AI so that they know and are doing something, or at least inquiring about what level of exposure they've had to stuff like ChatGPT and whatnot? Is that coming into play yet for you guys?
No, we haven't really started looking at it. Our development side has and the company, but from the BA side, we haven't started looking at it too much yet.
Peggy, how about you?
I haven't had the opportunity to interview somebody in the last few months where that would have been an appropriate sort of an interview question. But our business analysts are starting to use various types of AI, whether it's Copilot or ChatGPT, to answer questions. So we're dabbling in parts of it. And we have looked at some potential AI applications that would add on to JD Edwards to help us in various instances, but we haven't implemented anything yet.
Okay.
I think one of the questions I would ask is how they're using AI to help themselves in their jobs. I know for me, I have asked chat a lot of different questions about JD Edwards, especially as it's become more educated, if you will, the model. Just as a second, sometimes if I can't figure something out, I do throw it out there as a resource. I know it's not always right. I got to do some fact checking sometimes. But I think that's important, especially as technology is moving more into that AI space. I want to know that my candidates are comfortable that they've at least dabbled in it.
Yeah, that's where I was coming from too, is that it seems like AI is something that can augment a lot of different day in the life of a lot of different folks in different ways. And if you're not using it, there's a potential that you're going to be replaced by somebody that is. It's not that AI is necessarily going to replace you, but if somebody else is more resourceful, more efficient, more effective in what they do because they're using these tools to their advantage, that puts you at a disadvantage. So I was just curious where companies are at right now with this, especially in this BA position where it could actually be pretty impactful in the day in the life. So, all right. Well, I guess we'll cut it there. And we couldn't end an episode without Midwesternism. And then we'll pick up our conversation next week. So hopefully everybody's enjoyed the conversation so far. So for this week's Midwesternism, you were telling me a story. You know, I was looking through our list and this one just resonated with me because of your story yesterday about seeing a turtle cross the road or something like that. And now I look on a
crossing a driveway. Oddly enough, it wasn't even the road. It was on a driveway. And I was like, where is said turtle going? I mean, it was still moving. And well, we'll talk about this in a minute, but it was moving at a decent speed.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And close to water, not close to water.
Well,
I mean, it's 90 plus degrees out there and you're seeing a turtle cross the driveway. I'm just saying, you know, we got to worry about the little guy, don't you?
Yeah, he wasn't super little. He was a decent size. He wasn't the biggest turtle I've seen for sure. Of course, me being in tech, you would think I would have gone and taken a photo of it to have my iPhone identify said type of turtle so I could figure out what it was and how long it could potentially be outside of the water in case I should move it closer to water. I didn't.
Assuming that it was a turtle that you could move, because I mean, I know in the Midwest, snapper turtles are a little thing and you don't want to get anywhere close to one of those.
No. Yeah. No, this one was really pretty. It had a very pretty shell.
Oh, pretty turtles. All right. So this Midwesternism, you'll have to explain to me because I had never seen it before. But again, this your turtle story triggered me on this one. So off like a herd of turtles.
Yes, off like a herd of turtles. This is another one of those colloquialisms, which, hey, look at me getting faster at that.
You're getting better.
I know, right? And it is something actually that I have heard. And we're off like a herd of turtles. And, you know, you hear that and you're like, well, that's not very fast, which true. Turtles are not known for being fast. They have a very slow yet steady pace. Right.
Yeah, I get a vision of like my grandparents at some sort of picnic having a race and they're off like a herd of turtles. Like, you know, the three-legged race that you used to do, you know, everybody shares one pant leg or something like that, or they tie their shoes.
The legs together, whatever it might be. No, this is a little bit of a like a humorous phrase maybe to describe a group of people who are slow to get started or move slowly despite the expectation that maybe you'd be moving quick, but also that kind of efficiency and speed are expected, but yet not happening. So it's a little bit of a humorous statement, I guess.
You mean like most projects at, oh, I won't say it, I guess. Oh.
Wow.
Ooh, dun-dun-dun.
I'd say like most projects at a lot of companies.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll throw any one company under the bus at this point.
Let's not throw any companies under the bus, I know. But, you know, several companies do struggle with it.
Hopefully our listeners can appreciate this one and maybe throw it in there when they kick off their next project and they see it going slow as molasses and they go, well, we're off like a herd of turtles, aren't we? Go team!
Go team. I know. I think I'm actually looking forward to actually throwing that in somewhere at some point, because I've had a few in my life where probably should have. I could see that coming and I just didn't say anything. But now I can maybe use it as a, you know, always bring humor into your life and into your work life. Sometimes you just have to be able to laugh.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, the next time you're kicking off a project, maybe you use that imagery as this is us and let's not be this team, right? Let's be this in 6 months.
Exactly.
Let's not look back and go, ooh, that was us. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDEConnection@QuestOracleCommunity.org. Until next time. Let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDEConnection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.